Quattro is he's a real close friend. We've only met was it even a year ago?
Maybe 2 years, maybe.
Not this past fall, it's the previous fall, and came to the certification. Andrea, actually, I met Andrea when I spoke in Miami. Same time that I met B and Allie, and she was all fired up. She dragged him out, and they're just amazing people. The two of them, they actually run business together. They own Trident in Alexandria, Virginia. You're going to hear a lot about what he does, but I want to tell you more so about what kind of person he is. He's all heart. Man, what an amazing guy. He came and spoke to the first mastermind that we had, blew everybody away. He was there, big gags. And there's a reason why he's so successful. And I don't know if anybody of you ever saw him. He won the One Man Army. Oh, you know, crushed those guys, right? They had no clue. Quattro dudes crushed. Actually, I got some video footage that we'll have to bust out later on. And as a person, he's all heart. You can not only learn from him as a coach, he's a former Navy SEAL. His job now, classified. The gym that he runs with Andrea, and they have a team of coaches, unreal. I walked into that gym, I have video footage on YouTube. You could see like a Navy SEAL and a gymnast put their DNA together and put that gym together. It is amazing. And just the energy, this guy, like I talk about, gives me goosebumps. He's one of the most amazing people I've ever met. I can't, you know, when I try to say like something about somebody and I'm like stumble over my words, that's how I feel about these speakers. But Quattro Deuce, he's all heart. The guy's amazing. He runs an amazing business, and that's in addition to working, you know, a heavy-duty amount of hours with his other job. And whatever he's going to teach you guys today, be it about mindset, be it about training, about business stuff, you can't find it in the books. You can't. You're going to learn from this guy's heart, and he's speaking here. He doesn't speak at, you know, other events. He's on the CrossFit staff, but this guy is amazing. Don't interrupt when he speaks. He did some weird shit to me, and anybody saw it, they like hit me, and I turned around and he flinched. So so I'll tell you this: if anybody like asked, just be like, "Hey, how was it?" Just be like, "Yo, Zach made a Navy SEAL, got a little scared." Somebody over here? Did anybody over here witness it?
I saw it.
Chris did see it. Yeah. There you go. Dude, look at Quattro Deuce. He's like, "You didn't kill me." Turns on me. But this guy's the man. I'm front and center learning with you guys. So, commitment. Be ready to learn from this guy, Quattro Deuce, in the house. Give it up.
See, with Zach not telling you, I may have flinched, but the second time we ran into each other was up in my house. He, myself, Andrea, Kelly Starrett.
Oh, dude, that was bad.
I forgot about that story, dude.
We go out. Zach thinks he's a big badass and everything. Goes out drinking with some Navy SEALs.
I thought I had him.
Had him at the end of the night laying like this. I can't do another one. Ronnie!
I'll tell him the story. Let me tell him the story.
All right, go ahead.
We went out to eat at a real, real nice restaurant. And I heard about how Navy SEALs know how to drink. And in the back of my head, I was like, I don't really drink. When I was a bartender, I could do it. Now you give me one drink, I start feeling it. We had a little bit of wine. Then Quattro Deuce orders a beer that I never tasted before. Like, anybody here ever drink a Guinness? Yeah. It's kind of thick, right? Dude, that's like water compared to what I was drinking. I'm racing him, I'm competing. I'm like, let me see what this guy can do. He's like 150 pounds. I'm like, I could probably like drink a little more than him. He's playing it off like Jedi mind trick. He's like, shit on the Jersey Ninja. I was like, drink, man, I'm gonna out drink the Navy SEAL. I drink that first beer, I'm like,
in the back of my head, I say to myself, I hope we're done. Kelly Starrett wasn't doing too good.
He was not doing well.
I remember before I left, I told Dave Casher, I go, this weekend for me will be a success if I don't get hurt and if I don't get drunk, because I kind of knew what would happen if I'm with these guys and with a Navy SEAL. So he orders another bottle of wine, have a little wine, then he orders another beer. And I think I like whispered, I was like, no. He was like a shark that smelled blood. He's like, oh, Jersey Ninja. As we start drinking, I'm about halfway through that glass. I could not feel my face. Things were getting fucking scary. I remember I'm like, let me see if I can walk to the bathroom. I'm walking to the bathroom. If you ever saw that movie, that one kid's like dancing at the party. He's like, I can't feel my legs. I'm like, shit. I'm like, I was going to the bathroom, like, scaling the bed. And this dude, by the way, no mind. I get into the bathroom, everything. I was like holding on to everything. I come back, and fuck, another beer. It went on and on. And I was like, I told him, I go, I don't think I could drive in your car. I go, I'll walk back. He's like, you don't even know where the fuck you are. I'm afraid I'm going to throw up in your Range Rover. I go, I'm afraid I'm going to throw up in your nice car, man. You're going to mess me up. He's like, you're going to be okay. I'm like, I need to walk this off. So we drive back somehow, some way. I don't know how. I don't get sick. And the plan was to have an early morning breakfast with K-Star. I think it was for something like 6:30. Somebody had set the alarm, or maybe the cleaning maids had set the alarm and hit it. It went off at like 3:30 in the morning. I was like, ah! I texted K-Star at 2:30 and I said, I don't think I will make it to breakfast. I show up for the mobility course. I show up. He's like, oh, he's all crazy. I'm like, I don't feel any contribution for that. Drink some more. So he had me drink, and I saw somebody had a big bottle of water. He's like, sit down right here. He's like, oh, and drink that bottle of water. Drink that bottle of water. I was like, damn. He's like, it's not working. You know that? I started feeling somewhat better. He had me just pounding that water, and then I think within like 30 minutes, I was like, I'm not drunk anymore. He's like, yeah, your brain is awesome. I was afraid of how it's going to make you this, and now I know that if you've got a bad hangover, just think, quattro deuce. Your brain is rusty. Drink a lot of water.
The elixir of life.
That's it.
87% the elixir of life.
And the lesson to be learned is don't ever try to out-drink a Navy SEAL. Don't ever try to out-do them at all. They do Jedi mind tricks on you. It was possibly one of the biggest mistakes of my life. That scared me. I remember after that, I was like, I'll never drink again. It was one of those moments. And when I start feeling a little bit like drunk ever, if I go out to have a drink,
drink
I remember
water.
That. I do drink water, but I remember how I felt, and that shit scared me. I love you, dude.
I love the little bit of life, you guys. You know, I'm a bottom feeder. I don't eat well. I'm not really good looking. I'm 163 fucking pounds. Mad at all you big muscle heads out there. Shit, dude, this guy back here. I tried that shit, though, man. I deployed to Guam for 6 fucking months. 6 solid months. Every day I ate chicken breasts, drank milk, ate some rice, some broccoli, did 4 lifts. I did a back squat and a deadlift, some bicep curls. Got that island 165 pounds, left that island 6 months later, 171 pounds. Got home, ran on the corner, 165 pounds. It's like, fuck! Shit don't work, man. Shit don't work. Andrew's got a little story. I don't like to tell this story, but Andrew loves this story, so she's going to share it with you. This is my my lover, my partner, my friend, my confidant, my freaking everything. If you guys don't have one of those, you should find one. They're awesome, right? They keep your mind right. When you think you're having such great ideas about stuff, bounce it off someone that you care about. They will check you in a minute, right? You should learn to listen. You should learn to listen. Put your ego aside and listen. You don't always have to agree, but at least listen. It changes your mindset a little bit, right? So she wants to share a story. I'm going to back out because it's kind of embarrassing. But I'm here to share.
When I met Chris, he was still in the Navy, and I didn't meet his mom. He's real close to his mom and his family.
Quattro.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Quattro. I had to explain that name at some point. I went to meet his family. I didn't get to meet his family for, like, I guess about 8 or 9 months, maybe 10 months. It was a while. He's super, super close to them. And I'm thinking, oh, you know, he's pretty badass, Navy SEAL. But I've probably always been a badass, you know. And his mom, who's really cool, she starts talking about him, I said, oh, what was Chris like when he was young? And she's like, he could not breathe. He had asthma so bad. And she said he had diaper rash so bad, his skin was so sensitive, had to walk around naked. And then she said he was so sickly. His asthma was so bad. And then his sister's like, what about the braces on his legs? And I was like, what? And he had Forrest Gump braces on his legs. Because, like, his femur grew really fast. And so they just, and his mom was the type of mom, she was so cool. She just was like, I'll just tie a trash bag on it and get this one. And, like, she didn't treat him like, they didn't even say with his asthma, she didn't treat him like it was anything, like a real, like it was a malady. She took care of him, but not in any crazy way, but it made a huge impact on me, for one, because I can make fun of him a lot, but for two, it made a huge impact on me, because I was like, wow, like, it gives me chills to think about it. Like, you should never, ever put limits on someone, or especially, like, think of a child. Like, you would never think, like, a very sickly child with severe asthma, and he had asthma his whole life. He got acupuncture when he was in his 20s to learn to control it before he went to Buzz. Because, you know, it's not legal to go into the Navy, I think, with asthma. But for all of that adversity to then grow up and be able to become this amazing athlete, become a SEAL when you're 28 years old, which is hard, I just thought that was a really interesting beginning.
Right? If you don't believe in you, who will? You guys should have people around you, as Brenda was talking. You guys have people around you, that support network, that group, that little group of people that you can rest on, that you can lean on, that you can ask questions to, and they give you straight-ass answers. That's what's important, that family model for a lot of people, that business model for some of you guys. I don't know where you're trying to go or what you're trying to do, but by the time you leave this little piece that I'm going to do, I'm going to have you one piece of paper. I owe you an apology. I was supposed to bring 3x5 cards, but you're going to make those out of a piece of paper. You're going to write some things down there that you should never forget. I don't give a fuck what you put on that piece of paper, but you should never forget. We'll talk about that a little bit later. All right? That support structure is so freaking huge. I got it from my mom. She's a tough freaking woman. I'm the only black person in this room, but you don't fuck with a black woman, right? And you don't fuck with your mom. She tells you like it is, and she gives you the straight skinny, all right? She told me from a very young time that I could do anything that I set my mind to, and I believed her. You can do anything that you set your mind to if you believe it. If you don't believe it, you're going to fail. And failure is okay. It's okay to fail sometimes. If we don't try new things, we never fail. We don't grow if we don't fail. What you do when you fail is what's important. If you lay down and keep getting kicked, you fail, you're going to keep getting kicked. If you fail and go dust yourself off like Brandon did, hey, he had a tough life, kept bouncing back. You keep bouncing back, you're going to do fine. If you believe it. If you don't believe it, you're not going to go anywhere. I don't care what your friendship circle is. I don't care what your support group is. If you don't believe it, you won't go anywhere. Does that make sense? If you don't believe it, you won't go anywhere. Right? So, take out a piece of paper. We're going to start this thing really, really quickly, right? Take out a piece of paper. I want you to actually fold that piece of paper in 3 inches high by 5 inches wide, much like a 3x5 card. Why? Because you can put that 3x5 card in your frickin' pocket. Not 2.5 inches, not 3.25. 3 inches by 5 inches. Not half a page. 3 inches by 5 inches. This is 5x8. That's an 8x11. 3 inches by 5 inches. Hurry up, we ain't got all day. All right, stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Nice. Sit down. Why are you guys listening to me? I'm a 153-pound fucking weakling up here, and you guys are doing everything I say. That makes no sense. Why? Because I command presence. In your gyms, in your spaces, in your life, you need to command presence. People will pay attention to you if you command presence. If you believe in yourself, you will command presence. It just oozes out. If you don't have that belief, you will not command presence. Who does not have a 3.5 by 5 piece of paper?
I'm close to it.
Do you believe that you can do it?
I believe I'll get there.
Nice. Here is the secret of success, the secret of life, the secret of everything. Three letters and a symbol. Three letters and a symbol. The letter W, the letter H, the letter Y, and a question mark. This is your why. Whatever you choose to do in life, you have to have a strong enough why so that whatever obstacle gets in your way, your why is big enough for you to run that obstacle over. It's your why. I don't give a fuck what you put on this piece of paper. The guy next to you should not give a fuck what you put on this piece of paper. This is your why. Why are you doing what you're doing? What drives you? What lights that fire? Why do you want to be a trainer? Why do you want to open a gym? Why do you want to get married? Why do you want to have babies? That's what my life coming up soon. So I'm trying to rebuilding a house. And why am I painting? Fucking still painting. No. Your why. It means it's only yours. Every single day when you look in the mirror, you should have an answer for that why. Oh, this is why I got up today, because I want to whatever it is. It makes no difference to anybody else but you. Everybody can throw shit on you. They can do whatever they want. Your why needs to be strong enough and solid enough that nothing is going to deter you from your goals. Does that make sense? I'm going to take 90 seconds. Tick tock, tick tock. Start writing your why. 90 seconds. Hold on. I didn't say start. Your why. Don't think about what other people think of you. Don't think about what other people want of you. This is your why. Not your wife's, not your son's, not your daughter's, not your grandma's, not your dad's. It's yours. Only for you to see every single day when you put on that piece, on that mirror up there and you look at it. This why means something to you, to nobody else but you. Tick tock, go. Time it. 90 seconds, no joke. Hey, I'm good. Oh, do I need water?
Yeah.
No, I'm fine.
You don't drink or eat, right?
I don't sleep much. It's awful fast. You had a whole 90 seconds. That's the one with the plan right there. That's the one with the plan. I like it. 60 seconds. 60 seconds. It's a lifetime. So I'll keep talking while you guys are finished this last 60 seconds. Some things to think about your why, right? First of all, you have to have some kind of goal or some place to go, right? Who wants to be a trainer? Who wants to open a gym? Who's not going to raise their hand for anything? It's interactive, right? I talk, I ask questions, you give me an answer back, raise a hand, whatever it takes. Now your arms are tired from doing all that stuff. It's all right. All right, everybody's got a why. Right? If you don't have a why, nowhere. You will go nowhere. You will accomplish not much. You'll be running that same circle. That same circle of, dude, every time I get started, I always fail. Every time I go to this far, I always fail. Because your why is not big enough. You know, your why is not hot enough. Think of it like a sunflower seed on the beach. Right? If that sunflower seed is nice and closed all up, water can't get in there. That little nut inside there, that's your real why. That little nut's safe. A small little crack in that sunflower seed, moisture gets in, that thing starts to sprout. Next thing you know, it all turns into a piece of mush. All right? Keep your why solid. You had 90 seconds to write this down. Is it going to change over life? That's a rhetorical question. You shouldn't use in an audience, but I'm going to use it anyway. Is it going to change over life? Should it change over life? The other guys got up there and started talking about evolution, right? That constant progress, that constant leaning forward of what you're trying to attain. It should change over life. It should get more and more solid. You should find experiences in your life to make that why more and more important. Does that make sense? It should evolve as you evolve, right? But the essence of that why should remain the same. The essence should remain the same. But it's going to evolve as your life changes. Hopefully our lives do change. Nice. How about my board right here? Some leg braces. Andy discussed that already. Obstacles. We all have obstacles easy to get over, right? Just push those fuckers to the side. Keep on moving. A guy once told me, he said, always lean forward no matter what you do in life. Always lean forward. I'm like, lean forward, what does that really mean? Lean forward. Okay, if I'm moving forward, I'm going in the right direction. I got a nice solid Y up here, right direction. But what happens if I get to a cliff? This obstacle I can't overturn or overcome. Fuck, I turn around, keep leaning forward, going this way. Eventually, I'll get to where I'm going to go. I have to go around that cliff sometimes. Sometimes over, sometimes under. It's just in the way right now. Find a way to get around it. Find a way to get over it. Find a way to get under it. Right? Don't let small things get in your way. Small things are insignificant. I learn these things sometimes when I deploy overseas in some arduous environment, in some nasty-ass places, when bullets are flying and stuff. And we're sometimes interrogate some people to get some information, because that's what we do. We collect intelligence. You got the bad guy sitting right here, my man, Big Charlie. Charlie, psh, psh, tell me a story with the bad guys. Psh, psh. Charlie, like, I ain't telling you shit, man. Damn. Jihad and everything, bro. Tell me, Charlie, tell me. Right? So the guy's not talking and shit, so Charlie's little daughter's sitting over here. Come on. Get on your knees, be the daughter, sit down. We're like, all right, we can't get the. Go and turn that way. You don't want to. That way. All right? Charlie's not talking. Right? But there's always ways to get information out of somebody. Right? And I learned this lesson. It was very harsh. I was very old. Holy shit. Almost 46 years old now. Wow! I was a little bit younger, maybe 42. So we couldn't get Charlie to talk. And I'm thinking I've got life problems. I got girlfriend problems. I got house problems and bills and stuff. Couldn't get Charlie to talk. This guy goes, takes some pliers, pulls a little girl's tongue out, whoosh, cuts it off. I was like, fuck, I don't really have problems. Charlie's got problems right now. Right? It made me kind of think about things in a different perspective. It's like, wow, my little things I'm worried about really aren't that big in the big scheme of things. Right? In the large scheme of things, my itty-bitty little problems about a few bills or a few of these, a few of those, aren't that big because people have bigger, bigger problems. People are starving. People are dying. People are eating people's faces off. Really? Is that some crazy shit? Damn, dude. Remember, don't take Epsom salt baths, apparently. Jack you up, right? So kind of keep things in perspective. When you see an obstacle in your way, think about, okay, really, is this obstacle, how big is it really? You know, in the grand scheme of life, it's probably pretty insignificant. If you make it significant, it can be magnanimous. It can be huge, right? Keeping your why in place, it becomes very insignificant because it's just a bump in the road if your why is going to take you to where you want to go. Does that make sense? Easy? Tracking me, baby? You there? You right? You and me? Nice. What else is up there? Goals. Don't need to talk about goals. You guys talk about goals all the time. We'll skip the goals. All right. Basically come from a military family. My dad's Air Force 26 years. Taught me a lot of good things, right? Talking about integrity, honor, duty, all those things that the military teaches. Your parents probably taught you some of that stuff, right? Those are those core values that you never want to get rid of. You see this common theme throughout my entire little thing here is that, dude, those things that are inside, honor, integrity, credibility, all those things, super, super important to have and super, super, important to keep. Once you start to sacrifice those things, shit falls by the wayside, right? Now you've lost who you are. If you can't believe in you, who can believe in you? If you keep wavering on your path, how's anybody ever going to follow you? Nobody's going to follow you because, like, this guy's all over the place. Why would I follow him? Right? If you believe in yourself and you have that commanding presence, people will always follow you in any venture. It's called leadership. Right? People always follow leaders. This whole entire, our whole nation, our whole country is based on what? 3%. 3% of the people do all the work. 3% of the people are leaders. 82% are what? Followers. 100% is missing. 15 is doing what? It's kind of in the middle, kind of that middle man, right? 3%, that's what makes everything go around. You want to be in that 3% or in that 1%. The 1%, no matter what, you're like, I don't know why I'm following this guy. I do everything he says. You know, we all have that person in our life. Maybe it's called a mentor. Maybe it's called a president. Maybe it's called a good friend. Whoever it is, that person, they have that charisma, that magnitude that you just want to kind of follow. Well, you can be that person too if your why is big enough, right? And you believe in yourself. Tracking? Questions so far? Ooh, chirp, chirp. Always trying to get to the meat. Man, can we get to the potatoes first? Damn. I'm not going to talk about school. Yep, I was an electrical engineer for a couple years. Actually, 9 of them. It was pretty good. Had a lot of fun. Let's get back to this line over here. Navy SEAL. Who's got a question about being a Navy SEAL? Nobody? Everybody does. Because everybody wants to be one. Don't lie, man. Everybody wants to see the movies and shit, motherfucker. You know, now we got games after us and stuff. What? I would have been able for a couple of reasons. Honestly, you remember the movie Red Dawn? Yeah, that fucking movie changed my life, man. Dude, it did. It really, really changed my life. I don't know why. It hit me in the head. It was like, I'm going to have to protect my family one time. I come from a huge family. My mother has 12 siblings. Got a lot of fucking cousins. A lot of cousins. I got a lot of people to take care of. I mean, a lot. And I don't know why. It just hit me in a place where I'm like, wow, this might come a time in my life where I might have to learn some skills to take care of my family. Other part of that was I was doing a lot of triathlons, and I felt like I was really freaking fit for an ectomorph. Right? I was really fit. I was fast. I was strong. I was agile. Mobile and hostile. Right? I was all those things, but I couldn't find that pressure that keeps growth, right? Because pressure breaks pipes, but pressure also makes diamonds. I couldn't find that pressure to keep me moving in the right direction. And I felt the military had that. I could get that from the military. So if I'm going to the military, I'm like, might as well be the best cat out there. So I decided to become a Navy SEAL, and it was fucking hard, brother. Dude, I joined the Navy when I was 29 years old. I weighed 133 pounds. Serious, I was 133 pounds, going to Bud's, ask Brad, that shit ain't good. It's cold for like an entire year, right? Great, great obstacles there. I remember this guy named Instructor Mister. Do you remember Instructor Mister? He was a red-headed dude just mad at everybody because he had a shitty job, went to SDV teams instead of the regular SEAL teams. He hated everybody, you know? So Bud's is kind of this premise of you go to this place called PTR, Physical Training Rest Recuperation. It's like pre-Bud's. Then you actually class up into a Bud's class, right? So I was in pre-Bud's, and he's just hagging me the whole time. I was like, oh, black guys can't do this, black guys can't do that, oh, you can't do this, can't do that. And I'm like, you know, I'm pretty secure in myself. Why? Because I believe I have commitment. I know where I want to go. All right? So first day one Bud's, second hour, right? First thing you do is run the old course. Of course, I'm pretty fast, agile, mobile, and hostile. So I was fast as old course time. I was like 6 minutes or something. What was yours? I love Brad. Me and Brad and I do a lot of things together. You know, you remember. Yeah, so me and Brad do a lot of things together. So it's kind of nice that he's here, actually. So I skip through the course, right, and I get on this, there's like this rope climb thing. So I'm climbing the rope, and Instructor Mister is sitting on this bench. Like I said, he's a real pale-faced, redhead guy, freckles, just hate everybody. So I'm hanging up there, and he goes, ready. I was like, what? He's like, no black guys can't swim. And I'm like, hoo-yah, Instructor Mister. I finish this and finish that, and go get wet and all that good stuff. Next evolution, the pool evolution, right? So you're on the high platform, you jump off the platform, got to tread water for a little while, like 40 fucking minutes. And I'm like, whoo, shit, he's right, black guys can't swim. Damn. So, yeah, so I failed that evolution, but it taught me a great lesson. What? He kind of got in my head a little bit, even though I had a strong why. I knew why I wanted to be a Navy SEAL, right? That's my why. I won't share that with you. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. It's my why, as your why is on your paper, right? And it's yours. Don't share if you don't have to share, if you don't want to share. So he kind of got in my head a little bit, not the actual water portion, but just like, holy shit, I'm one of two black guys in this whole freaking 158 dudes, right? I'm like, oh, that's interesting. It just kind of got in my head a little bit. So I failed that evolution pretty horribly. And, dude, there's no second chances in Bud. You're like, hey, get the fuck out. Fortunately, there were eight of us that failed that thing, so we all stood in front of the man. Be up, stand up, Joe, be the man. Is your real name Joe Pesci?
Yeah.
Nice, dude. One time. Two more. Oh, shit. Fucking get up. You're fired. Get up, James. Hit me one time. Bam. One more time. Three times. Four times. Sit down. Nice. Dang, man. You got to get on my team, man. Got to be on my team. All right? My team. Nice. So in front of the man. Sir, blah, 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 blah. And he's all like, ah, oh, you fuckers, you come to this thing, blah, blah, blah. It costs like a lot of money to the guy through the bus. He's just in our asses about how this is like the third hour of freaking a six-month program, and we're failed already in the water, wanting to be a Navy SEAL. Like, ain't so groovy right now, right? You're standing there all shivering and cold and dirty and shit, and he's all like, blah, blah, blah. But we had this Senior Chief Gower, black guy. He comes up to us, and he singled out the two black guys in the class that both failed to swim. Set us up. I need two black guys. I need two brown guys. You two. I'm going to jump here. Nice. You guys are strong. Senior Chief Goward. Do you guys understand where you are? Do you guys understand what you represent? We don't get this opportunity very often. You are failing people, mister. You need to step up or get the fuck out. One silver bullet. Go back to class. And it made me realize that, hey, this is bigger than just me, you know? This particular opportunity is bigger than just me. I didn't recognize or realize at that time that there aren't very many black or minority Navy SEALs. There just aren't. At that time, there were probably 1,580 Navy SEALs. I was the, however many going through. Once I graduated and got my trident, I was the 42nd active black Navy SEAL. There you go, right? So it made me just realize that sometimes the things that we are so focused on are why they can be bigger than us. You know, it's yours, but it can be bigger than us. Because I think we're all here to what? Share our experiences, to learn from each other, to mentor others, to shape others' lives, right? To change one life, one rep at a time. We're in the fitness business. That's my belief. I believe that I'm put here to help people better themselves. By helping people better themselves, I feel that I'm making myself better. If I can affect one life a day, I'm in heaven. My personal goal is to make seven strangers, smile every day. It's tough because some people just ain't smilers. It's tough. But I go ask Andrew. I go way out of my way.
That's your breakdance area.
Yeah. Do it.
Breakdance at restaurants to hostesses?
I do breakdance at restaurants. I actually fucking moonwalked right through the security gate one time at the airport. That dude said, ah, ah, ah. Had to go back through again and walk regular. I'm like, what's the difference? I either got a bomb or I don't. I just didn't get it. It just didn't make any sense to me. Right? So, but he did say, although impressive, we can't let you through. So was I. So it made me realize that, hey, sometimes our individual lives are bigger than just us. They are ours. However, they can be shared in more than one way. Does that kind of make sense a little bit? Easy? Nice. There's another question for the Navy SEALs. You guys hear all these things, right? So these tenets up here. Oh, look at that. Professional. Bam. Chink. Right? Same kind of concept. Those are my core values. Those things I believe in for me every single time. It says humility. You can't get through BUDS or a program like that without being humble. Yes, we are kind of fucking awesome. No, we are kind of braggadocious a little bit. We're a little bit cocky, right? But we deserve that because we worked really hard at doing that. If you want to be a teacher and you work really hard at being a teacher, be a little cocky kind of confident teacher. It's okay. You can walk with that swagger. You can walk with that. Can you believe this? Who's my... Stand up for a second. Who's that guy right there? Yeah. Carlos, stand up here. Imagine Carlos just standing there. I just want to... Just the world's best position. I pimp out on the stage. Put my hand out. Chest bump. Walk off. Who am I? President Obama. You didn't see when he got nominated? Or when he got elected? He pimped out, chest bump, freaking that dude, that white guy, and was like, ooh. I was like, did the president just chest bump the VP? That's some heavy shit. Too much for the high white guy handshake. How are you? I'm not really in the color that much. I can care less about race, honestly. but it does seem to bring some levity sometimes. So those core values, humility. You can't get through a program, many programs in life, without being humble. Right? You can be a little bit cocky because you deserve it. You work hard at what you do. If you're a good coach, you're a good coach, and you should be recognized as a good coach. If that errs on the side of cockiness a little bit, as long as it's cocky, not negative, but cocky sometimes positive, sometimes powerful, that's good. We call that swagger, charisma. Right? Those are good tenets to have there. Confidence, you all know about confidence. If you're not confident or have that belief, if you don't have belief, you don't have the confidence. You don't have the confidence, ain't nobody going to follow you anywhere. No one's going to come to your gym. No one's going to come to your house. No one's going to come to your garage. It just ain't going to happen. Why? Because you don't exude what they're looking for. As Brandon said, you don't have to know shit about coaching to be a good coach. You just got to pretend like you know what you're talking about. Right? We have a big gym, lots of coaches. We send our beginner coaches we have some military contracts as well, to those contracts to develop that swagger, to develop that confidence. Because they know more than the people that they're teaching. They're kings in that realm. They're not kings in our gym because they're beginner coaches and our gym's pretty good, right? But they're kings in that domain so they can learn. They can make those errors. They can make those mistakes because they know more than the people they're teaching. They are the subject matter expert, right? So in that realm, they succeed. Eventually, they learn more, reading more, doing more, experience more. They learn more and they become better and better coaches. Just like in life, you become a better and better person, right? So you can kind of relate those things all the way up. Strength, obviously strength. Learn to be a man, super important there. We'll talk about that a little bit. Integrity and friendship and trust. Friendship and trust. Who was talking about the... Who was?
Me.
Yeah. Just, dude, it's so freaking important. If you want a good friend, what do you have to be first? A good friend. Right? Quid pro quo, Clarice. Right? Thank you. This sounds good. You guys are lost you already. Dang, man. Silence of the Lambs. What? Oh.
My bad.
No, that's crazy. Really? It's a great movie, man. You know, all serial killers walk like this, palms back. I study people all day long. That's what I do. For real, every one of them. Everyone. The average person, they stand up tall, their thumbs are always forward, right? Because that's where we move, forward. Serial killers, got something to hide, just so you know. So if a guy's walking up on you, palms back.
Run.
Exactly. Nice. Friendship and trust, right? Again, in order to get a good friend, you have to be a good friend. The life is built on twos, right? It takes two to dance. You're like, my dance partner sucks. Well, maybe sometimes I look on the inside. Maybe you suck, and they're actually pretty good. They're just not dancing the same tune that you're dancing. Okay, that friendship, that communication, all that stuff makes a huge difference there. Some of my favorite sayings in the SEAL teams is, harden your chassis. What's that mean, harden your chassis? You don't know, you don't watch movies. Anybody?
Tighten your sack.
I like tighten your sack.
Have thick skin.
Thick skin, yep. It means all those things. All those things make you a nice, pronounced individual. Bam, check me out, dude. Got a hardened chassis. Can't hurt me. Why? I got a big fucking why. That's why. My why is so big, you can't hurt me. My chassis is hard, dog. It's hard. Right? Is it mobile like the willow in the wind? Absolutely. Why? Because the oaks break in the wind. Willows survive. So you can be hard on the outside, but you need to be calm and peaceful on the inside. It's like a turtle. Good hard shell on the outside. I know. I don't know where it's coming from, man. It's all over. Right? It's like a big turtle shell on the outside. You got to be hard. We need to be hard. But you have to be soft and gentle on the inside. We need to be soft and gentle. Okay? Easy. Embrace the suck. You said embrace the use. Embrace the
grind.
The grind. Yeah. Same kind of thing. Nothing. I don't know of anything. Maybe you can correct me. I don't know of anything that's going to come very easy without hard work. I don't know, I've been living almost 46 years. I just haven't had that type of life. Like, things just don't come to me that easily. I have to work for every single thing I've earned. Every single thing I've earned. My best friend, T-Battle, love that cat. Every time I talk to him, dude, just grinding. I'm like, you're watching TV, dude. You ain't grinding shit. I'm grinding. I've been at the job like 18 hours today. I don't sleep. I don't eat. He's like, what you watching? What kind of Housewives does he watch? Desperate Housewives. I'm like, you watching Desperate Housewives? No one ain't got no damn money. You know? So in his head, he's embracing the grind. He's grinding it out. I'm like, no, dude, you're not. But his paradigm is different. So I'm on a personal path that kind of changes his paradigm to understand that nothing really comes without that hard work. And that grind is a grind, baby. It's a long day up before everybody, staying up later than everybody else, grinding it out. It doesn't matter that grind if what? If your why is big enough, it's not that bad of a grind because you know where you're going. You know this hard work you're putting in now is going to go to what you're looking for. It's going to support that why. Make sense? Yep. Everything for the team. I love this. This is the thing that I love this more than anything. There's a lot of stuff I love about being a team guy, but everything's for the team. There's a little saying that team gear, my gear, me. Right? Take care of your team gear first. Take care of your team first, your people first. Right? Then take care of what they need after that. Team gear, right? That's their stuff. My gear. Take care of the stuff that's going to support me. My family, my whatever it's going to be, my gear at my gym. Take care of that stuff. Now let's worry about what I need. Okay, I might need some food. I might need some water. Maybe. Might need some beer. Maybe. Right? Team gear, my gear, me. And think about that structure. The more you can give of yourself, the more you get back in return. It's not like an equal. It's not exactly equal there. But the more you give, the more you'll get back. Right? Unless you expect to always get something back for what you give. If you always expect to get something back for what you give, it's probably not going to work out so great for you. You have a good word for that. What's the definition of that? Selfishness. Right? If you always expect to get something back for what you give, you're probably just being selfish. I'm going to do this for Joe Pesci because Joe's going to give me a fish or whatever it is. You know? Pesci is fishing at the time. They didn't get that shit. Yeah. Dude, it's in there, man. You got to let that out sometimes. You can't keep it in, it'll burn you up. You got to let it out. All right? So don't think about everything you do, you're going to get something back in return. You should be giving, giving, giving because you want to. Because you want to. If you're always thinking about what you're going to get at the end, you're probably going to fail. It's just point blank. You're going to have a little success, but you're probably going to fail. Because that's not what this world is based on. We're here to give. Nice. TOEDY. Brad, test, test, test. TOEDYW or DWY. That's my boy right there, baby. Where are we at? He went through my store, went over there. Navy SEAL. So what did the Navy SEAL kind of lead me to? This place here at TFO, we just leave it up there. Right? So I just kind of left my full-time job. Now I have a sometime part-time job. So I got negotiation power. Why? Because I got skills, baby. So my full-time job, I work for a special missions unit in D.C. I was hand-selected from the Navy SEALs to go to the special missions unit where we do a lot of stuff. It's pretty awesome, right? So there were 6 Navy SEALs selected to ever go to this place, and it's great. We do a lot of clandestine kind of secret stuff, and it's awesome. Chosen for that job from my skill set, learned in life and the teams, from my personal demeanor, from my confidence, from my why, for all those things that make me me, that's why they choose people like me. Right? That's why they choose people like me. Because I've grounded out in the teams, in life. Right? I've worked up to where I want to go. I didn't even know I wanted to go there. It just kind of presented itself one day. But I knew what I didn't want to do anymore. I was tired of being a regular Navy SEAL. I was like, you know what? That box is checked in my life. I've accomplished all the goals I had for myself in becoming a team guy. I accomplished all those goals. I was looking for the next thing. I didn't know what I was looking for. I was just looking for something else. Right? Why? Because I'm constantly leaning forward. My why's evolved. I'm like, oh, that was pretty cool. Let's go try something else. Go ahead and stand up real quick. Again, listening, I like. Stretch. Let's see what, Smitty, what we got? No, stretch it out. Post-lunch coma, a lot of carbohydrates. Stretch, girl, stretch. Nice. Put your arms over your head. Oh, exhale. Sit on down. Nice. Where was I? I got lost. I'm old. Leaning forward, right? I was leaning forward looking for that next challenge. That one, I don't know how it kind of presented itself. I had a choice of going to TFO or a choice going to Dev Group, which is the next little echelon of team guy, of being a SEAL. I chose this path. Super awesome path. I learned so many new things. Was it hard? I had to start all over again, back to day one. You're a fucking new guy. Learn all these skills. Prove yourself, grind it out, prove yourself, grind it out, prove yourself, grind it out. You know, tough, but so freaking rewarding. I can't even tell you. can't even tell you. I don't even know how to. I can't even tell you. I wish I had some words. I just don't have the words. So rewarding, but so freaking tough. So hard. In that particular place, we deployed as singletons, one person or two people, to some very nasty spots in the world. And it's just you out there. Hey, how you doing? Hoping to get my ass shot off. That's the gig. But so rewarding because all the benefits that came with that, got to meet the president, got to brief a lot of big people, put myself in a position where I can kind of, people like to hear what I say, whatever that position is, you know, so people are like, oh, that guy's done some things, let's listen to what he's got to say, you know, so it puts you in a kind of position because I feel like I've kind of earned that right to kind of talk every once in a while. Right, so that grind paid off. Did I go there expecting to be like, that's going to elevate me to a higher status in life? Not at all. I went there because I thought that shit would be fun. Right, that was my next thing. I wanted to keep having fun in life, keep living my life, keep being passionate about what I believed in. I believe in this country. I believe in duty. I wanted to keep continuing that. So it elevated me to a different kind of position. Oh, I got to go to jail there for the first time. Not as glorious as yours, though. Because my shit was like this. I'm so fucking scared. It was fucking horrible. But it goes back, so it was me and another guy, some country there. Somehow we ended up in jail. Not a good place, right? But where we were in cover, so we had a cover story that we had to believe, right? They separated him. Charlie's over there. They separated me. I'm over there, and the Inquisition start. Blah, 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 penis, blah, 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 blah. Having that faith, trust in my friend, dude, we escaped. we handled that situation boldly. Had I crumbled or not believed in myself or not believed that my friend was going to do the right thing, God, probably still be there, probably. Right? So that friendship, that trust, that stuff, it's so imperative in life. It's so nice to be noble. It's just awesome. So we got out of that little situation, right? Using all the techniques and tricks and stuff that we learned. But also, I learned how to coach there. Funny. I wasn't there for 2 years, but still. Because people start to listen. You have something to offer, people start to listen. And you start to realize, again, you're like down there, dude. You got nothing else. You know, you start to realize, like, hey, I got something here. Now, that's not actually why I got into CrossFit, but I did kind of understand a little bit about coaching there. Yeah, and again, one, believing in yourself. We'll talk about that later. Nice, where are we at? You guys got any questions so far? I'm trying to blend, Zach's kind of asked me to kind of blend a little bit of business with a little bit of personal stuff, so I'm trying to cover both those bases in 50 minutes. No questions? Easy? You guys want me just to talk all day? Dang, I'm gonna give you a high five, dog. Shit. Boom. I'm gonna just skip because that was very powerful. Why was that powerful? Just that exchange right there. Keep going. Personal touch. Okay. Andrew and I own a gym. I'm gonna skip a few of these things. Andrew and I own a gym, CrossFit gym. We've been CrossFitting for 6 years. Right, we used to work for a different CrossFit gym as just coaches and athletes. It was awesome. You know, things happened, had a little falling out, decided to have our own gym because everyone else sucked, basically. I couldn't find a place I liked to work out. One was too far, one was too close, but the coaching was horrible, so we decided to make our own gym. Made our own gym. Some of the business side for that was banks suck. You might notice that. If you ever want to get some money from somebody, they don't ever give it to you unless you have a lot. Nobody else? No? Oh, everybody's going to business pretty easily? Walked right in, hey, how you doing? I'm in business. It's awesome. And Muhammad's like, yeah, I did. Same thing. We're going to start this big gym. We found a space. Like, as things are kind of destiny kind of predefined, the first space we looked at, Andrew walked in and said, well, look, this is our new gym. I'm like, let's look at a few more buildings. We wasted another day. She's like, I don't know why we're looking, dude. This is our gym. I'm like, all right, shit, whatever. So I listened, and it's been very, very successful. But to open that gym, you got to have what? You got to have some cash. You got to have a plan. Actually, we designed our business plan on the train coming, was it up here?
I think it was coming up from New
York. Yeah, coming on the train from New York in 3-hour train ride. Why? Because we have shared vision, right? We understand. We've been in the trenches long enough to understand what we wanted. We just got to figure out kind of how we wanted to go about getting what we wanted to do, how he wanted to change lives, how he wanted to impact this CrossFit community with what we have to offer. So we knew what we had to offer. How do I get that out to the public? How do I say, wow, you know, we got some good things here. Let's spread the word. How do we do that? No fucking idea. Apparently, if you're building a business, you got to have a business plan. Shit, businessplan.com. Load it up. How much money you got? None. What are your goals? Don't know yet. Own a gym. Shit, easy. How many people are you going to expect? Making up some numbers. Generate this little business plan. Came back, said, we need some money, right? We had some money. Go to the banks, and the banks say, hey, you got any money? We're like, yeah, we're going to borrow some money for you so we can open our business. It's called a business loan. You guys are supposed to help us out with that, small business loan. They're like, yeah. So we asked for what, $50,000? $50,000. They're like, all right, cool, put your house up and put $15,000 in a bank and write $25,000 in a thing. I'm like, that's more than $50,000. I'm going to do this shit myself. So we did. We decided to go ahead and self-fund. We self-funded with 100, maybe 100 and... something?
Yeah, I maxed out like every credit card I had.
Yeah,
I think you guys told me, I think you both, do you want me to tell them? I remember.
Yeah, go ahead. By the way, I have no, besides some of my work stuff, I have no secret. You ask me anything, I will tell you every number. I don't give a fuck. Whatever you want to know, I will let you know. All right, there are nothing.
You said that you each put 80.
80, yeah.
Also, Andrea and Crawford, you just tell them where your gym is, how many others are around you, and how many clients you have now.
Okay. So this is really good. This is our gym.
Yeah.
Right here.
Quick thing. Just disclosure, I do own another business. I have a coffee house and roaster that I've been doing for 20 years. So we didn't have like zero business experience.
Yeah. And that's a big thing. I'm kind of bouncing a little bit, but that is a big thing. So I own another company. Andrew owns another company. My other company was a CrossFit company that I did for some military guys. So we have some military contracts that we've been teaching CrossFit with at. Andrew owns a coffee house. She's had a coffee house for 21 years? Oh, you're only 17. I mean, 21 months? yeah, her coffee house rocks. I don't drink coffee, but that shit apparently is really good. It's like crack.
That's it.
Old Town Alexandria?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Misha's. It's on King and North Patrick. By the way, I'm not selling anything. We don't ever sell. I've never sold anything. And yeah. It's really good coffee, though. Highest roasted, highest altitude. I don't know the coffee lingo. But anyway. So we have some business experience. A lot of people that go into business, I find, I'm going to use CrossFit because that's kind of the world I'm in right now. For people that want to open up CrossFit, but I'm sure it crosses all business spectrums, like, hey, you know what? I'm a really fucking good athlete. I rock, dude. I can deadlift faster than the deadlifter can deadlift, right? I rock as an athlete. I'm so good at this, I want to start my own deadlift business, right? I want to start my own gym. You're like, cool, I got some cash. Maybe go to small business loan. Maybe not. Get some money, open up your gym. Now what do you got? An athlete running a gym, right? Athletes don't run gyms. Business people run gyms, right? An athlete works out at the gym. Athlete can partly run the gym. But someone's got to have some business experience to run the business, unless you just want to have a hobby. If you want to have a hobby gym where you just kind of show up and work out when you want, your boys are with you and everything, well, that's cool if you want a hobby gym. If you want a business gym, you better have some business experience or learn some business experience. I'm not big on the partners, but learn some business experience because it's a business if you want to make some money. If you don't want to make any money, it can still be a hobby, and there's nothing wrong with that. Right, so we come with a little bit of business experience, so we have that little edge. As Zach was saying, our gym is right here. Shink, down, bam. Around this little area, this is probably 5 square miles?
Not even
3 square miles?
Well, there's two other gyms within less than 2 miles of us, like a mile and a half.
Yeah, this one gym is like, no joke, 1 mile away.
If even.
Yeah.
On the same road, and then from that gym, there's one that's only like 3 blocks or 4 blocks. And then if you went a 5 mile radius, there's probably like at least four or five. And these are just CrossFit.
Yeah, just CrossFit, yeah.
So in personal training studios and gyms.
Yeah. So I'm saying about 10. I'll say about 10 within our, hey, I have a choice of what gym to go to. There's 10 gyms you can choose from and not interrupt your lifestyle. I'm going to or from work, to or from work and to or from home. Right, so there's a lot of choices. So we knew when we opened our gym, it's like, there's a lot of choices out there. I can't come in the small boy in a big boy game. I need to come in on par with the big boys. That's why we spent so much cash to open up the gym. I wanted a large gym. I'm a Navy SEAL. She's a gymnast. Zach kind of put it together, and that's what our gym is. It's it was 5,500 square feet. I like to play. I like to play with ropes. I like to play with monkey bars. I like to play with hammers and tires and barbells and kettlebells and turf. I like to play with all that shit, so all that shit's going to my gym. Why? Because that's what I like to do. And since I'm passionate about that, my passion oozes out, and people are infected by that and becomes viral. They're like, holy shit, dude, we went in there and played today. I got a little fitter, you know, but we played today, and it was awesome. Because we're excited about what we do, it just spills out the doors. We don't advertise. Well, I throw money away every once in a while just because people keep calling me like, you got to put your number in a book. Type this. I'm like, oh, whatever. So, yeah, we don't. I do. She hates that. So we really don't advertise. Everything we do is word of mouth. Again, our gym is about, it was 5,500 square foot. We just added a 3,500 square foot addition. So we got like 9,000 square feet or whatever that adds up to. We have 450 members. We'll be open for 2 years in 2 weeks, 14th. Right about now. So we're open for about 2 years now. Average prices are $225 for unlimited. And we have a pretty good military discount at about $179, $189 mark. So we do pretty well.
Yeah.
So we're in that one step. So that's what we charge. What we do really, really well from the business standpoint, I don't give a fuck about the money personally. I don't care about it because I know money comes and I know money goes. And you spend some money, you'll probably make some money. If I hold on to that shit, ain't nothing going to happen with it. I know that. She understands that. For the first year of our business, we didn't take any money. We never paid ourselves because we had other jobs to kind of support ourselves there. Never took any money. Everything we did, we put right back into the gym. Every single thing.
Like, or we paid the IRS.
Oh, yeah, or we paid our taxes. Yeah. So we didn't take anything from the gym. What we do really well, 5,000 square foot, 200 square foot, 100 square foot, it doesn't matter. We do one thing very well. Say it again. Personal touches. 7 interactions with one of our red shirts. All of our head coaches wear red shirts. All of our assistant coaches wear blue shirts. So when you walk in our gym, you're like the guy in the red shirt running the class. It's his gym right now. Whether I'm there or she's there, the guy in the red shirt who's coaching the head class is running the gym. He is the captain of the ship. He has, you're not going to out-veto me, but he has majority of the control. Everybody knows that. They know that when they first walk in, the red shirt's running the gym, blue shirts are helping out. They know where to ask questions. They know where to go. All my coaches know they have to interact with my clients 7 times in 45 minutes in the morning or 1 hour at night. That's our class times. Right? So in 1 hour, you need to interact. I don't care if there's 40 people in class or 10 people in class. You can get 7 touches. You walk through my doors and I'm there, I guarantee you this is going to happen 4 times. Hit me. One more time. 2. One more time. 3. Let's fake it out. Chest bump. Come on. Bam. Why is he listening? Because it's infectious. I command that presence. Right? Because he deserves it. Now, it's not for me, it's for him. How do you feel?
Feel good.
Pretty fucking good. Right? And it's just that simple. I care more about my clients' progress, my clients' lives, than I do care about money. I can... So funny, I'm just on the way here, she's all like, did you get the checks out of the mailbox? I'm like, oh, fuck, no. But the other day, some girl's like, hey, you know, I'm not in the system, you guys forgot to be charging me. I'm like, all right, look at the system. I'm like, hey, you got no photo. Let's take your photo. She's like, but I really want to pay. I'm like, I really want to see your photo in the thing. Right? So that's not my biggest concern. Not because we have a lot of money, because I know that relationship between me and my client is far more important than how much money we're making. You know? Because she's going to come back or he's going to come back the next day, the next week, 3 months later, 6 months later, a year later. They're going to come back to get into our community. Our gym is based on community. We have 450 cats in there based on community. Some guy just started a month ago, Charlie Parker. He's all like, dude, what you doing? I'm like, dude, you're not going to go be in class? He's like, I just wanted to watch. He's like, I'll take the next class. I just wanted to watch and hang out. I'm like, we're successful. Why? This guy just wants to watch a workout. He's going to spend an extra hour in our gym and our nice leather couches to watch a workout. What does that say? We got leather couches from IKEA. Exactly.
That gym is like third place, right? The third location.
Yeah.
When you walk into their gym, they have like the couches and everybody's kind of, you know, hanging out, kicking back.
And I think I was watching to see who was going to write down like what Quattro Deuce is saying about the seven touches. Because I've been into many gyms, and through holding the certifications, I see a lot of coaches do this. They don't say anything. And in the back of the person's mind who's paying, this is what they're saying. I'm paying all this money, and nobody's like firing me up. I need somebody to inspire me. I need somebody to motivate me. I need somebody to lift me up. That's why you guys are here. You're kind of seeing us as the coaches to inspire you, educate you, motivate you. That's what people do when they come to you. And I've seen Chris Quattro Deuce. Oh, man.
See, right here. Right here, you and me. I don't think he's ever used my name, actually.
I never. I walk into that gym with no sleep or 1 or 2 hours of sleep, and you would never know it. And I remember the first time I went to the gym, Andrea was hurt. She had like a busted up ankle, and she still got in there and was all fired up for everybody. But she wasn't even running. She wasn't coaching. She like jumped in and started training. It was just, she was in there. And I think that sometimes you guys might be saying in the back of your head, like, all right, we know we should care. We know we should be hyped up. We know we should be psyched up. But you've got to do it all the time. Because what happens is he's got gyms surrounding. Andrea and Clark Hughes got gyms right around there. They could go to a gym that's closer to them. They've got 400-something members on average paying $200 a month. Dude, that's a lot of good shits going on if they're deciding to do that. And you know how you hear some of the coaches say, I wasn't thinking about money. I used to try to like plan out how much money to make per month from the gym, and I was looking at all the memberships, and I stopped doing that. And I got into focus of the changing of the lives. It sounds cliche because you've heard it a couple times, but Quattro Deuce really hit home when he was at our last mastermind. He spoke about his mission of like changing like the fitness culture in our team. He's like, I want to go to the supermarket, and I want to see mom, dad, aunt, uncle, niece, nephew, try that CrossFit shirt, ripped, lean, muscular, energetic. And it hit me saying what my mission was and the kind of kids I wanted to help and what I wanted to help them do. So while you're listening to them, you've got to think of your mission. And yes, they make a lot of money. But once they started focusing more on the contribution and the life changing, that's when the money
actually
comes.
I'm going to inject. That was our primary focus from day one. That was our mission from day one. I'm a very simple person. Andrew's a very simple person. We have two shirts. One looks like this. It says this on the back. The other one looks like this, and it says changing lives one rep at a time. So there are only two shirts in the gym. That's it. Because those are two things I believe on. I believe you should be fit, fast, and strong. And I believe that we are here to change lives one rep at a time because that's our outlet. If I was selling widgets, I'd be changing lives one widget at a time because that's my belief. I believe that I'm here to do that, to have an impact, on people. With whatever God gave me, that's the only tools I have to use. Right? I can try to manufacture some by reading all this stuff or doing all this other stuff. This is who I am. I'm giving you what I am. And I'm like this every day. I don't even drink coffee. I don't. But I get so excited about just watching people. Oh my God, did you see that? Last month you couldn't even squat down to death. But today, look at that. You're deadlifting, your butt's down. It's all great. How do you feel? The legs hurt. Great. You know, it does. I mean, people come to me, oh, we have this guy named Serge, Chris, he's a Russian guy, Chris, guess what I did today? What? I bench press. Okay, Serge, you know. But he's like so wicked inside there. Everybody is so wicked to share their experiences inside our community that fitness is a byproduct of what we do. Exercise is just exercise. How long you been in this business? Shit ain't changed. Pick up heavy shit a lot, you'll get stronger. Do it poorly, you'll get injured. Do it correctly, you'll be stronger, fitter, and faster. It doesn't change. A push-up is a push-up. You can change it around a little bit, make it off kilter, put some chains on your back, whatever, but it's still a push-up. There's no rocket science to it. That's not the part that you guys should be focusing on. Fitness is fitness. Focus on the people. The people is what makes the difference.
Care about being better, that does matter.
Yeah.
Like, we had years of coaching experience before opening the gym, but we're not, like, the people need to get in shape, but our mission from the beginning was about people.
Right.
And I think knowing
but
that.
But piggybacking on that, so what she's saying is, yes, exercise is exercise, push-ups are push-ups, but another thing that sets our gym apart from everybody else, it may be kind of braggadocious, whatever, but I will not tolerate poor coaching. None. We have an internship program. Our interns go through minimum 160 hours or about 250 hours or about 6 months or so, depending on their own schedule, before you even get a chance to lead a class or wear a red shirt. You'll do our baselines, right? You'll help check people in. You'll help the red shirts kind of coach the class. We'll give you opportunity to shine. We'll give you opportunity to fail. But we're there supporting you no matter what. I will not tolerate bad coaching. I will not tolerate bad movement. Understanding that this athlete, their prowess right now, this is the full extent of their squat. Well, today, that's the best they can do, and that's all I can expect from them. However, it's my personal mission to get them to squat better. If I continue to let them squat poorly, whose responsibility or whose fault is it? It's mine. If I watch a poor squat, don't say anything, I'm saying, your poor squat's okay. You're doing a fantastic job. And if you break a knee, it's my responsibility. It's my fault that you move poorly because I haven't corrected you enough. Understanding it takes time to develop to become a good athlete. But I take the, not just me, my coaching staff takes the personal responsibility that every single movement inside that gym is their responsibility. Every success, every failure, everything in between. And they know that, and they're rewarded for that. We give them scholarships. They can go to any fucking course they want to. I don't really care. Right? Depending on where they...
Quarterly. Everyone has to go to some type of training quarterly. We don't care what it is. It can be, like, say you want to go to Great Coach FMS. Say you want to take an anatomy class. Freaking, I don't know. Zumba.
Write that down.
Yep.
You should have questions because Andrea and Quattro Deuce and Dee and Allie, they're going to be up later. But when you're thinking of growing... How are you going to, what kind of requirements are you going to have for your coaches? What, you know, how do they organize it? Write down, dude, they got 400 something people rolling through that place,
yeah.
And it's growing. He's being forced to expand. Write down questions so you can say, how do you train your coaches? How do you
help?
So that way, when you're at that point, you have kind of like, that's what you want to do. You want to, you know, jump up that ladder of success. You don't got to climb it. So listen to where they're at. But you've got to know they did all these things together. So write down some questions that you'll be able to ask them later.
And it wouldn't matter if we had a small gym unsuccessful or a big gym successful. Our tenets of practice would not change. Does that make sense? We're fortunate enough because our gym grew really, really quickly that we can offer some scholarships. But it doesn't have to be a scholarship. It's just some kind of reward. I mean, you're doing a great job. How would you like to blah, blah, blah?
Or a quarter
of it. Just giving that back to that individual keeps them on your team, which keeps you successful. I wanted to share with you, can you get my phone? I wanted to share with you, I'll kind of come back to it a little bit. Keeping that team happy. Team gear, my gear, me. Right? My coaches know that we have their back no matter what. Andrew and I run into, oh, it's Friday, wait a minute, I have 10 classes today. The first one starts at 5:15. One at 6, one at 6:45, one at 9:30, one at 12:30, one at 4:30, one at 5:15, one at 6:15, one at 7:15. Right? Every single day. I know that the owners of the gym are right here. We're not at home. We're not at the gym. We're not at the gym. Right? I have no worries about my space. I'm saying my, but it's ours. Oh, plus 4 military contracts. See, that's why I need a good partner. Dumb. Really? So I'm looking at my email. It says right there, it says Zen Planner. That's my membership management system. It says, oh, look. Oh, sorry, I went too far. It says, where'd it go? Yeah, don't have a big gym, be like 150 emails a day. It says, what does it say? Right here, we'll start right here. I want you to read it for me, baby. All right, we're going to start right there.
Member website?
Yeah, what's that say?
New membership.
What's that one say?
New membership.
What's that one say?
New membership.
All right.
Last task list.
Okay, every single day, our coaching staff, they're there for us because we're there for them. We got 3 new members today. I'm fucking here, eating salad watching you guys, right? That's the pros. What are the cons? Keep going. See.
Late
oh.
Bill.
Oh, keep going.
Late bill.
Uh-oh, keep going.
Late bill.
Uh-oh, keep going. Right? They're people, man. They pay sometimes, they don't. No, I'm kidding. right? Point I'm trying to make is our team is solid because we're solid leaders, right? We're solid leaders. Our team trusts us because we trust them with everything. With everything.
Even programming. Alternate the program. Oh, not amongst all the coaches, just like our you have to be a, like,
redshirt top coach.
With some tenure, and then we alternate the programming. It's all supervised by Chris and I, and then we also have a strength template that sort of goes through it, but everyone gets a chance to program, and it gives them some ownership. They feel they're learning the program because we're giving them feedback on what's going on. Because there's a template, it's not like random or anything, but it also keeps them a little more creative because everyone has a tendency to sort of program what they like at one, you know, what they like to coach.
Yeah, and it keeps, I'm going to tell you right now, what's your name? Big Arms, yeah.
Brad.
What's your name?
James.
What do you like to do, Brad, in the gym? What do you like to do?
Throw kettlebells around.
Two separate programs. This is my philosophy. If he does all the program, what's it all going to look like? Picking up heavy shit all the time. If he does all the program, what's it going to look like? Maybe not picking up heavy shit all the time, right? Well, you remember, you have a big gym. You need to accommodate the majority of your athletes. I'm going to say majority, that 80-something percent, 85%, because 5% are going to complain because it's too heavy or too light. Other 5% complain because it's heavy, too light, or too heavy, right? So you're trying to program for the masses. So what we do to combat that problem is each one of our head coaches programs for 2 weeks at a time. We have an underlying strength program. Now they get ownership. Oh, I like fast, quick shit. It's CrossFit. I like heavy, heavy, heavy shit, right? So the members get that feel, and they get ownership as well. Oh, fuck, dude, Dave Diamond's programming. We'll be running our asses off this week, you know? And they kind of know that, and they kind of look forward to that. Oh my God, Chad's up in the rotation. I'm gonna box jump until the fucking cows come home, you know, because that's what he likes to do. Matt, heavy shit. So it blends itself nicely, giving back. I can't see if you guys can read it there. It says, "Listen to your athletes. Listen to your clients. They, the mass of your clients, not the anomalies. The mass of your clients will tell you what they want. Try your best to accommodate what they want without sacrificing your own philosophies and principles, of course, right?" Because they're the core of your business that will keep coming back, bringing you a check every month so you can be successful, so that you can listen to your athletes, so you can give them what they want, so they keep coming back every single month, so that you can listen to your athletes, so they'll bring you a check, so you can see what they're doing every single month. Those are the guys that run your business. You have nothing to do with that, really. You provide a good product, they buy the product. You don't provide a good product, they don't come back, they don't buy the product. You have a lot of turnover, right? You're going to have turnover. It's just a gym. It's going to happen. I only got 2 more minutes. Anything else that you want to, I missed, or both you guys?
Like your mission and what you stand for, like Brendan talked about, you know, believing and having passion for what he stands for. If you have a gym, and we happen to have a CrossFit gym, but as everyone knows, it's an affiliate program. Like every gym can be, like they can be night and day, completely different. When we opened, we decided to me, CrossFit is GPP. It's general physical preparedness. I want people to get in really good shape. To me, the games and all that stuff is cool and fun, but that's a sport. And as soon as you're doing sport, it's not GPP anymore. So from the beginning, we made a commitment to ourselves, like our program is for GPP. Of course, the games are getting more and more popular. You're always, anyone that has a gym is going to have outliers who want to change stuff. And the outliers are usually really loud. They might be the most vocal person. Even though they're the smallest. You have to be really strong in your vision and commit to it, because the outliers will try to fuck you up. And we had a portion of our gym all about competition. And I'm not against the competition, don't get me wrong. We were the directors for the Mid-Atlantic Regionals. Like, we love CrossFit. I think it's fun. I think training people with programming for CrossFit competition is appropriate for your average person? I don't. So I'm not going to teach that in my gym. So we had people that were sort of loud about it, and especially with the hype of the open in the game, and we stood our ground. What we do is we do things like, hey, we've got some people that are more advanced now. We don't do a lot of full snatching and stuff. Why? Because if someone has a really shitty squat, I'm not going to have them overhead squat a significant amount of weight. Yeah, we work power snatches and stuff. As our athletes develop, oh wow, we have a percentage of people interested in the Olympic lifts. So we brought in the guy who just won Masters Nationals, Grand Master, who's also a world record holder. He's our Olympic lifting coach. We have an Olympic lifting club that meets twice a week for our clients. We have now a competition class for the small but very vocal portion of the clients that want to compete, and we have a coach that's into that. So stick with what you believe in, but it doesn't, your job is still to try to, you're supposed to accommodate all of your clients, though. Everyone matters. You just don't want to, I think, cater to the outliers too much at the expense of everyone else. But you can still take care of them. If you have someone that wants to compete, fine. Be like, I'll give you extra shit to do. Here's what you need to do to compete. Or start a competitor's class. If you love Olympic lifting, cool. We'll bring in, we have that now.
Questions, yeah.
For them is, how do you adjust membership for the specialty classes? Are specialty classes allowed for non-members? Is there a different price for existing members? Think about all that stuff, because when it comes up, you're like, what do I do?
That's brilliant. That's brilliant, because that's where we struggle.
So ask them.
That's brilliant.
During the Q&A.
Yeah, it takes a lot to figure that out, you know? And just to piggyback what she's trying to say, she's also trying to say that... I forgot what you're actually trying to say.
We also complaining about the programming. I'm like, I don't think we got 450 members in 2 years because you're a freaking internet genius that now knows everything about program. Because you follow the outlaw way or whatever, now we should be doing this at our gym. I think our gym is successful for a reason. I don't have a problem with all these other things, but I'm not going to change my entire gym for those couple people.
Yeah. Initial one or two maybe? One or two questions real quick? No? Yes?
We're going to do a Q&A with you at the end.
Yep. So,
is that all right with you?
Let's spit this one out and we'll continue. Yeah, just spit.
You want me to argue with Nevison?
Just go ahead and spit it out. You gave me a high five, dude. Right now we're connected somehow. I don't know how.
Do you allow people to come to your gym and do their own program?
No.
Good question.
See how the answer was? No. Hey, can I? No. What you can do is... follow our class structure. It's awesome.
Our classes are very structured too. We have group warm-up and movement prep, always skill sessions, whatever we're going to do in the workout and with it.
See? Yeah. You know what you say? Check this out. Ready? No. Yeah. But here's what we can do. We can set up a special program for you and your college friends, $750 a month, or $750 for 3 months. Right? You guys can get in there and do whatever kind of lifts you want. That's fine. That's what we can do. Oh, you don't want to do that? Well, we have these classes you can come to. It'd be great. Or you can go fuck else somewhere else. Right? Nice.
Yeah, I'm just like, I hear you guys have a lot of, I don't know if you can call it like technical questions, but like the operation stuff. So we're recording all this. I know today was a lot of mindset. A lot of kind of like the inner beliefs. Paulie's going to definitely be dialing some stuff in, and we got another surprise guest who'll be speaking a little bit with him. But I'll probably have like Paulie like ask me questions, and I'll add the audio to the recordings of this because I'm just taking all the mental notes to the things you guys are asking because I know I see where you're like where the questions are. But writing questions down is important. We're going to have a Q&A at the end of the day. And, you know, you'll be, it's cool. It's going to be an interesting Q&A today because you have partners working together, operating together with different, like some people run a full-time job and also that. So a lot of stuff in there. The takeaways that you get from it is, look, man, this guy is just never tired. He's always hyped up. Andrea is, you know, this coffee shop is like, it's crazy. I'm like, who fucking think we're in there? It was like 8 o'clock at night. I'm like, why the fuck are so many people in here drinking coffee? There was like people drinking coffee, people playing chess, people did, like, everybody was just like wanting to be in there. So that's not, it's like she's tired, I'm sure, from that, but you would never know. You never know. When you walk in there, that place is just, it's electric, and that's huge. Many people are missing that. Like, you think you get it, but I'm seeing too many gyms and too many coaches that on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm giving you a 70. You got to be a 20. You got to be a little fucking crazy when you're out there, because that's, you know, when I like flip down on those kids, they're like, hey, you know, they loved it. And sometimes I say, I like tell Paulie, I'm like, ah. He's like, you should be in this area. I'm like, ah, I don't know if they want, if like, I think I might be too crazy for that area. he's like, they fucking love that shit. And then I told him, I was like, yeah, dude, I flipped out on those kids. I told one kid, I'll meet him out front, I'll fuck him up. And then they said thank you without, like, these kids are fucking nuts. And the truth is, they want to be fired up, lifted up. Write down your questions. You'll have opportunity to ask them. Both Quattro Deuce, Andrea at the end of the day, as well as, you know, everybody who's speaking. We're going to take fucking 2-minute breaks.